It's time for Supply Chain Now Radio, sponsored by Apex Atlanta and Talent Stream. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia, Supply Chain Now Radio spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the companies, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day. Now, here are your hosts.
All right, good morning. Welcome to Supply Chain Now Radio. Scott Luton here with you live. As we are not in Atlanta today, we are in beautiful Orlando, Florida, where we are continuing our coverage of Velocity 2019, which is the forum to learn about solutions and strategies that will help you accelerate your digital supply chain. You can learn more about the Velocity Conference at velocity-conference.com. We are continuing our interviews with a variety of supply chain leaders today. Yesterday, I think we conducted 9 interviews with leaders from across the end-to-end supply chain. And this show here is our first segment of day two for Supply Chain Now Radio at Velocity 2019. So glad you have joined us. You're in for a treat. We've got a great speaker lined up, Carolina Malahan, Vice President Supply Planning. That keeps getting me. Package Meats Division with Smithfield. How are you doing? Good morning, Carolina.
Good morning. I'm doing wonderful. Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here today.
Definitely. Well, enjoyed your time on the panel this morning as we focused on talent. Enjoyed hearing your perspective and glad to get some time with you here today to continue picking your brain. So, where did you travel into Orlando from?
I traveled in from the not-so-warm but very windy Chicagoland area.
Yes. The Arctic polar vortex, is that still remnants of?
Oh, yes. There's still a little bit of that still left.
Well, I had stepped outside a few minutes ago, and it's such another nice day in Orlando. It's easy to get spoiled. So before we talk about Smithfield, Carolina, tell us more about your background and your overall journey.
Well, my background is definitely not the textbook background. Background is in psychology and sociology, a little bit of accounting thrown in there. And if I go all the way back to my first encounter with supply chain, it's actually quite embarrassing to say that I came in for a job interview and I had 2 offers. One was customer service and the other one is supply chain. Mm. I went with supply chain. I thought it might have something to do with jewelry. It had the word chain. You know, I just took a shot. And that's really where my career started way, way back in the scope of a supply planning, and has really taken on a lot of different areas and angles with a lot of hands-on experience and a lot of the expertise actually through the Apex chapters to help develop that knowledge, which quite a not so far distant, really, the supply chain programs that are out there now in various institutions were not yet in place.
Mm. Well, would you have any idea when you made that choice that you'd be selecting a field that has had now a seat at the table unlike ever before?
Never in my mind. I just knew that there's no way that I can be customer facing all the time. I'm that little bit of too much black and white, but definitely something that's great within the supply chain world.
Mm. So tell us more about Smithfield and what the company does.
Well, Smithfield Foods, it is the largest hog processor and producer in the world. We are owned by the WH Group in China. That's probably, I think, around the 2014-15 time frame. Represent a number of different sectors within the packaged foods industry, from whether it's deli, retail, food service, international space. I represent the package division. We also have a equally large fresh segment, as well as hog farms. We are very vertically integrated. So we cover a significant footprint. If you eat bacon, chances are, whether you know it or not, you've had some of our products, as I mentioned, whether it's through the restaurants, through the retail space, et cetera. Spiral hams, hot dog sausages, lunch meats, meatballs. I mean, I can keep on going. If it's a protein, chances
are. You're making us hungry. It's almost lunch hour down here. It all sounds great. Yes, yep. It all. So how long have you been in Chicago with the Smithfield team?
Actually, I've been out of Chicago since 2006. Smithfield actually purchased a division of Conagra at the time. So I came on board through an acquisition with Armorack Ridge, and then through various other investments and purchases. That's really, you know, picked up through the Armorack Ridge division, the John Morrell Food Group, consolidation of Patrick Cudahy into the John Morrell Food Group space, all the way through now, which is the Packaged Meats division, which is a combination of all the different operating groups coming together onto one platform and one ERP system so that we can serve our customers better versus very fragmented.
Sounds like quite a project.
It is, and it is still taking place. There's still a lot ahead of us. We've made significant strides, but we still have a little ways to go.
Absolutely. So on that note, you know, what are some of the supply chain trends that you're tracking more than others right now?
Some of the different supply chain trends, one is really simplification. There's a couple in that scope. One is obviously leveraging some of the different technologies and systems, but it all comes down to simplifying and eliminating some of the complexity, and that is really across the supply chain. So whether that is using technology in our track and trace through our transportation, in distribution, whether it is really consolidating our distribution footprint and right-sizing it to leverage better responsiveness with our customer base. And then on the supply planning and manufacturing space, really simplifying our production and our portfolio complexity. There's significant capacities to be gained when you decrease changeovers and you really leverage the commonality of a lot of your items. As you can imagine, with 40-some different plants, it can get unruly in terms of how many different variations of a package an organization provides. So really being able to look at something and have the balance of customer responsiveness, yet making sure that you can stay nimble enough with decreasing some of the noise that can disrupt a supply chain when you're very complex.
And you mentioned customer being responsive to the customer's needs, and we're in the Amazon era. What are some of the customer behaviors that have been impacting y'all's organization from a you know, obviously with Amazon, you place an order and you get it either same day, you get it within 2 days, and it's amazing what you have access to right there. What are some of the things that, that y'all have noticed in your market related to the what we'll call the Amazon effect?
Our market's a little bit different because we're not quite in that retail space where people are ordering a package of bacon or that one spiral ham. We do have definitely a seasonal aspect and a seasonal division that does manage the catalog sales, et cetera. But from the day to day, I think our customers are expecting much more from their suppliers, whether it is in decreased lead times for replenishments, order placement, decreased lead time for promotional activity, being the first to promote an item or have any kind of a limited time offer segment. Those are significant aspects. Additionally, the shelf life requirements. You might have items that have very favorable shelf life, whether they're frozen or just due to the nature of the product, and the requirements of being able to provide that ultimate freshness, less than, you know, 25% of that shelf life consumed. So it you know, those are all things that definitely impact how you're able to leverage your existing capacity with being at the same time responsive with the customers.
You know, we've done several webinars with Lisa Anderson, who's part of the an Apex chapter in California. Does great work. She's with Emma, her own firm, LMA Consulting. And her first webinar with us, she talked about how the Amazon effect, whether we like it or not, spills right over into our experiences at the dentist, and how, you know, we that bar has been raised. All aspects of your life, a lot of folks want to apply that Amazon experience to those different aspects. And I find that fascinating. And you know, I don't know how much longer we're going to be living in an era where one player is dominating as much as it is. I would like to think that, you know, sheer entrepreneurial business sense and the competitive spirit will eventually, you know, level the playing field a little bit more than it is today. But it's still just fascinating how the how that has trained consumers to demand more and more, whether it's from upstream, you know, suppliers or you name it. So no surprise it's rippling over into the food industries as well.
No, absolutely. I think if anything, a responsiveness everyone's accustomed to, whether it's the Amazon app or whether you jump onto a laptop, you can look at anything and everything. And with the push of a button, know, can you have it now? And if not now, have your choice of selections of when. What that does is it really pushes that digital supply chain all the way through the network. Industries don't really have a choice,
right?
To say, well, we want to opt in or out now or later. You really have to jump on that bandwagon because the customers figure if Amazon can figure out where we have whatever you've dreamed up, because it seems that they have anything and everything available, then why do you, an established organization, why are you not able to tell me where my product is? And how many minutes I'm going to have to wait before I have a response.
It's such a different time. But a good, I think we welcome these types of challenges as supply chain folks. And it's making us all get better and optimize our performance. So switching gears a little bit, as we were on that panel this morning, I really enjoyed your perspective, as I mentioned. And really, as a longtime APIC/ASCM now member and volunteer member, I admire what Smithfield is doing to invest in its supply chain members' professional development, because that is, and our listeners will learn more in a second. But what we've been seeing is less and less organizations are providing their team members with investing in their professional certifications, or giving some time off to study for an exam, or whatever it is to make them better and make a more rewarding a career for them. So Smithfield actually, though, is an opposite direction. They're doing more to invest in the team. So please shed some light on some of the things that you're doing to invest in it and your supply chain members.
Sure. Just over the course of the years, I've noticed that it is challenging finding new talent, and the APIC certification, although it is out there, it is not very common or every day to find that kind of a certification on an applicant's resume. As well as incenting people within the department has been a challenge, simply from the number of different objectives. As I mentioned, Smithfield's gone through so many different changes. I think 9 different SAP conversions in less than that many years. So that gives, that basically puts it in perspective that if you have a career, you have to balance being able to meet your deliverables and yet still have that work-life balance where you have a social life, you can be there for your family. And over the years, I found that trying to incent people with, Smithfield supported and paid programs really wasn't getting the traction needed. What we experimented with just about a year ago now, and went through the whole certification process, was actually bringing an APIC individual into the office space, bringing in ordering dinner, and was very successful. Had a number of individuals that went through the classes and then proceeded to go through the actual exams and certification process. And that's something that I intend to continue. As we are in the process of relocating some of our offices, that's something that's pretty much more on hold till the fall time frame right now, but we've already had a significant number of inquiries of folks wanting to look at the online options that are available. So to me, those are big wins when you've already got a lot of interest out there and folks learning from each other that this is something that is really beneficial. And also, as you engage the management group in the hiring process, they also start seeing what is out there and realizing how they can stay on top of their expertise pool and ensure that that they've got the best of the best in terms of the knowledge at their fingertips.
Mm. And I'm sure you've gotten great feedback from the folks that have gone through. I know you mentioned that you're getting more inquiries about what's next or the self-paced training, but I'm sure you've gotten thank yous and I appreciate what you're doing from team members as well.
We've gotten quite a bit, and again, it really is about building those relationships and that trust, I think it opens up a lot of other conversations that might otherwise be missed when you have those relationships with individuals on your team, and they see it as we just all have a different way in terms of how we're contributing, but we all understand the big picture. And I think there's also a level of respect when the everyday individuals understand that their management team not only understands what they do, but they've gone through all that and you can speak a common language. So it really levels the field and not just within, let's say, the planning group. But that's something that we offer across to other departments as well. And I know we had significant interest just, again, due to some of the other initiatives that were in place. The timing wasn't right. But I do anticipate having a number of other departments jump in on that opportunity as folks really want to leverage their career paths.
And those are differentiators in this talent market. Companies that are willing to invest in their team members and their employees, those are more often than not are employers of choice, that is ammunition for the war for talent for sure. So this is your first Velocity conference. I know you've got a team with you here and you've been invited for a number of years, and it's always tough to carve out time, right? But what have been some of your key takeaways from the conference thus far?
I think some of the key takeaways are really seeing the pace of various industries. As I mentioned, that Amazon effect of the digital supply chain, but really seeing how the challenge for information, responsiveness, and being agile and nimble. Sometimes in various industries, for example, when it comes to technological industries, it's just known they move at a quick pace. They're going to be further ahead in certain areas. And some of the food industries, we've possibly been lagging back in some areas. Mm-hmm. But coming to an event such as this really opens up your eyes in terms of what is out there. How we can cross-pollinate some of the things that may be common in let's say a retail space or even health industry and bring that into manufacturing and vice versa. And some of the conversations we've had with different leaders from their sectors, it's very eye-opening and it definitely brings a lot of different opportunities to the table.
Yep. Every industry is special and they'll tell you that. But there's so much best practice and transferable lessons learned from across the industries. I 10 years ago, I went to I was late to the party, but I went to an event where you had healthcare leaders, C-level leaders, and manufacturing leaders, that same level of totem pole, getting together and just talking about the commonalities when it comes down to people, process, technology. How much common ground there is there. So I love how you put it there because it is eye-opening. And you've got to be willing to learn what you don't know because we all don't know what we don't know. But the conversations can be very powerful and the takeaway can be very tangible.
I think the one other thing I'd like to add is we would all like to think that we're terminally unique. Mm. By coming to a conference such as this and actually bringing a team of individuals, my learning is also for future events. This is something that is more for the folks on my team. Definitely I get quite a bit out of it, but coming by myself would definitely be missing the mark. Mm. You can't bring this back to an office space.
Right.
You can tell people, jump on, look at some presentations, but seeing the excitement from my team members in terms of, how are seven of them going to cover all the different sessions and picking and choosing? That's something that if I can infuse that into an entire department, Like I said, it's very hard to put a price tag on that, on the momentum that you can really gain.
Absolutely. So beyond Velocity 2019, what other trade shows are on your radar for this year?
Right now, we are looking at the Gartner trade show in May, trying to see if we can move around some dates. There's a few other supply chain ones in the September fall timeframe that I have to look at some of their different names. But I know we've already been kind of courted for some other participation. So I'm looking forward to that. Our current objective is really to get a team in place by the end of this calendar year. So the sooner that we can get some good momentum going, again, the sooner I want to really leverage in getting those folks out to an event such as this, so that we can keep that momentum and the energy going. The last thing that anyone can afford right now is to be stagnant.
Oh.
And with as many as many opportunities that are out there, I'd rather have to challenge to keep people focused in one direction rather than 10 than the energy that it takes to push the needle to get excitement.
Mm. Well, so that conference and the Gartner conference in May is going to be a neat one. We had Mike Griswold, I think, with us here yesterday, who is a big leader within that conference. He didn't give me the sneak peek of the winners, but you know, top 25 supply chain the champions, that list. I'm a big fan of all rankings, so I gravitate towards that. So that's always a neat list. And of course, the takeaways from that conference, we had Daniel Stanton on in the weeks following last year's conference, and he had 8 key takeaways, and some of our best content that resonated with the marketplace. So, I mean, so hopefully y'all can make it out there, and we'll have to do a debrief session with you as well, Carolina.
That'd be wonderful.
So how can our listeners, whether they're great supply chain talent that might be looking to join the team or just looking to get more information about Smithfield, how can they learn more?
I think there's a couple different avenues. One, definitely social media. We are on Facebook, so I would definitely encourage anybody to look in there. Obviously, also the web, smithfieldfoods.com. Definitely a lot about the organization, about different career opportunities, and really how we're also making a mark for ourselves with being smart users of energy as well as recycling programs and the environment. As well as LinkedIn. Mm. Definitely, if there's any questions, I can reach through that space. But I think that gives the listeners at least 3 different avenues.
That's right, variety. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Carolina Malahan, Vice President, Supply Planning for the Packaged Meats Division with Smithfield. And to our listeners, check them out at smithfieldfoods.com. To our listeners, stay tuned as we'll be interviewing a variety of supply chain leaders like Carolina as Supply Chain Now Radio continues its coverage of the Velocity Conference 2019 here in Orlando. Our next segment will be airing shortly and hope to see you soon. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks for joining us. All right, Scott Luton here with you live on Supply Chain Now Radio this morning. Welcome back to the show. We're glad you've chosen to join us. Today, we're broadcasting live from Orlando, Florida, as we continue our coverage of the Velocity 2019 conference. It's been a great day and a half for at least the Supply Chain Now Radio team. You can learn more about the Velocity Conference at velocity-conference.com. We are continuing our interviews with a variety of supply chain leaders today. Yesterday, we conducted, I think, 9 interviews. We just kicked off this morning with Carolina Malahan with Smithfield Foods, and now we continue that into another great session where we have Steve Huster, Global Director of IT for Tincata Geosynthetics, and Fred Tolbert, Principal with Demand Solutions Southeast, set to join us now. Steve and Fred, good morning.
Good morning, Scott.
How are we doing?
Hey, doing great.
It is a good morning here, beautiful morning in Orlando. So first off, where did y'all travel in from? And we'll start with Fred.
Well, I'm from Marietta, Georgia, so got on the Delta Bird and headed down to Orlando.
All right. And Steve?
So I'm from Newnan, Georgia, south of the airport, and I did the same thing, but my bird was a little later in the day, so flew down on Sunday afternoon.
Fantastic. Well, before we talk about Tincada Geosynthetics and Demand Solutions, let's learn more about your backgrounds. And Steve, this time let's start with you. Tell us about your background and where you've been and where you're going.
Sure. So I've been a longtime IT professional in my career. I lead the IT role for our business, a global business. I've had prior experience where I've ran what we called operations or supply chain for another Tincada business, and I've also run a sales and marketing team for a couple of years. So I've worn a couple different hats.
You're a deadly weapon.
I try to convince many folks of that.
And Fred, give us a little bit of information about your background.
Yes, I'm the Southeastern principal with Demand Solutions, meaning that I work with companies in the sales and the implementation of the Demand Solutions suite, primarily in Georgia and Florida, but other places around in the Southeast. And so I've been doing this for quite a while now, 25 years. And actually, prior to that, I was a user of the Demand Solutions software. So I've been affiliated with the company for years and years.
And you're also an Apex legend. We've been collaborating with you for a number of years with the Atlanta chapter. But you held some, I want to say, either regional or national roles with the Apex, right?
Yeah, my Apex experience goes back back into the 80s as we were implementing software. We didn't even call it supply chain back then, but that's when I joined Apex and got my certification as we were implementing forecasting and planning systems. I got involved with the Apex chapter. Different roles, the program chairman for a while, was the chapter president for a while, and then progressed on to the district level and worked there, and then on the society board for a few years.
Wow. Hall of Famer. We'll get your autograph later, Fred. tell us more about Tincada Geosynthetics, Steve. What do y'all do?
So we're primarily a manufacturing company. We manufacture textile-like products. So non-wovens, woven products that get used in civil engineering applications. So somebody's building a road anywhere in the world. We provide product globally, and they need to address, the engineer needs to address something about the road, whether it's soil conditions that need some stabilization or filtration, depending on water and hydrology. And we make just a wide variety of products used in those applications.
And I'm sure that with the infrastructure throughout Metro Atlanta, the Georgia DOT is a great customer, maybe.
I'm sure they are. I couldn't tell you how much of our product that they spec in roads, but I think we've got product in every state in the U.S.
Wow. Okay. And let's talk about Demand Solutions, Fred. What do y'all do?
Well, Demand Solutions is supply chain planning software suite. We work with companies to improve their forecasting processes, their inventory replenishment, manufacturing operations, integrated business planning, and certainly one of the hot topics here is analytics.
And one of our hosts for Velocity 2019, Demand Solutions, is one of the team of organizations putting on what has been a great conference. Excuse me. A lot of great feedback we've had through all of our conversations, and I was honored to sit on a talent panel this morning. So thanks for what y'all have done to bring all these supply chain folks together. So let's talk about the partnership between Tincada Geosynthetics and Demand Solutions. Tell us more about how y'all are working together.
Well, I've had an opportunity to work with Steve for close to 20 years now at a former Tincada division where he was. We implemented the Demand Solutions forecasting system and then now DSX as our module there. He was our project sponsor there on that project. Now that he's moved to Tincada Geo, we started the conversation here, and that's leading us to having them evaluate the Demand Solution software. We're right in the middle of the project.
Oh, fantastic. Steve, anything you want to add to that?
So Fred's correct. We are in the middle of evaluation. We kicked off our project fourth quarter of last year. We went through internally, pulled together a project team to evaluate our requirements, take a look at some of the options available in the marketplace. We narrowed the list down to two, which included Demand Solutions, and the team made the decision that we wanted to pilot or test Demand Solutions. And as Fred said, we're in the middle towards the end of that and expect to make a decision very soon whether we're going to go or no go with demand planning. And if we decide to go, then The roadmap has us looking at other modules from Demand Solutions and not only rolling it out in our U.S. business, but potentially in our European and Asia businesses.
Fantastic. Exciting time. So let's shift gears a little bit and let's talk about some of the current supply chain trends that y'all are both tracking more than others right now. And Fred, let's start with you. What are some of those things that are on your radar right now?
As over the years, we've had, you know, the market has shifted in the maybe days gone by. Forecasting formulas and algorithms were very important, and seems like everybody has the basics in those applications now. You know, within the last 10-plus years, IBP and S&OP has been big, but to me, in the last year, the topic of analytics. Mm. I mean, the supply chain market is really progressing into getting analytics and having it understandable for the lay people. There's always been the data architects that have been into the numbers, but now the tools allow the data to be organized and delivered to the user in a usable format. And I think the application of that throughout the supply chain market is really the next big topic.
Mm, fantastic. And it seems like not only has we've got so much more data at our fingertips, but it seems like consumers and companies are more willing and more transparent with some of the data that we collect, and it's easier to collect. And now we've got to have folks that know what to do with this wealth of data so we can make smarter decisions and faster decisions. Is this some of what you're seeing, Fred?
But during one of the presentations this morning, we talked about going from having data to information to knowledge, and I think that's what the tools are progressing to, where we've always had a lot of data, but it hasn't always been available for the practitioner to digest it and deal with it. And that's what the tools are letting us now, to present that information in a much more friendly format.
Well, and to tag on to that as well, I think the other thing that we've seen in some of the sessions here is better leveraging that data, integrating the data, breaking down these silos that we've got. And, you know, lots of good user sessions at this conference explaining what they're doing, what their journey's been, and you know, how the technology now, particularly a lot of these solutions are cloud-based, just kind of opens up avenues that maybe didn't exist in the past.
Mm, fantastic. Well, so beyond analytics, what are some other trends that you are tracking right now, Steve?
So sort of really tagged on or related to analytics would be AI, artificial intelligence. And, you know, the struggle for me is, you know, what's the use case for AI in our business? I know the use cases exist, but we haven't found a practical one. But actually, at the conference, the president of Demand Solutions, in one of his presentations, actually had a great use case for AI that I think would be applicable certainly to our business, but I think, quite frankly, any business. Mm-hmm. And so that, for me, is how we can leverage AI to better inform us and take some of the human element out of the analytics. Let the system through machine learning give us insight maybe quicker, more effectively than what we might get otherwise. Mm.
Exciting time to be in supply chain, and exciting time to be in supply chain technology. Steve, I heard your background, and we called you a deadly weapon, but I think the perspective and the lens that you can see IT through in your role really takes advantage of that diverse experience.
Well, you've for any of the folks that have been at this conference, there have been just a number of examples where companies, from mid-sized to large-scale companies, had both their head of supply chain and their head of IT here as a partnership. And that's certainly the case in our business, and should be the case. You know, to accomplish for the supply chain teams in their respective companies to accomplish their objectives, they need IT to be a partner, and IT needs to partner with them to make sure that they're aligning their resources and capabilities.
Yep. One of the common threads that came out of our interviews yesterday was that of practical application, right? There's so many innovations, there's so many new tools, there's so many new technologies and platforms, but really being able to kind of get through all the noise and identify the right ones at the right time and applying them in a practical, positive, operational manner. Does that speak?
Absolutely. I think what I've heard is prior to coming down to the conference, I kind of felt, and our team kind of felt like maybe we're behind the maturity curve. And what we found out is, no, we're really right in the middle of it. And the things that we need to focus on are the, you know, for us still blocking and tackling practical, pragmatic things. And it sounds like that's what is on the mind of a lot of folks here as well.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And we, whether it's part of the breakout sessions, part of the keynotes, part of the conversations we're having here on Supply Chain Now Radio, that's been one of my key takeaways. So on that note, great segue. What other key takeaways from three great days of LOSSI 2019 are y'all going to take back to the Atlanta area?
Well, I will start, and I go to the different sessions, and I maybe even proudly steal information from other people, and I told our company president, Alan Dow, who started the presentation, said it's a great time to be in supply chain.
Amen.
And so I absolutely think that everything that's going on is there's a lot going on, and it is a great time to be in my business helping companies to improve their operations. I mean, we've made product announcements of our manufacturing optimization software. And but as Steve said, that practical application of machine learning, it had frankly to me been very theoretical up till now. But you know, this particular application is cleansing companies' sales history data and finding the anomalies that feed into the demand planning process. And so they've taken it from a very almost academic exercise to something that literally has dollars and cents. Benefits to companies. And the other takeaway is I've had an opportunity to be here with great companies, Tenkata, Automation Direct, Delta Apparel, Amerex, companies here that I've had an opportunity to interact with great customers and great supply chain people throughout the Southeast.
Absolutely. I've enjoyed that same thing. Steve, what are some of your other key takeaways?
Yeah, for me, Scott, I think the coming into the conference, you know, I had certain expectations. What I've heard and what I'm going back home with is we're on a journey, and we really just started this journey just within the last 6 months. We're the things that we're doing prior to this project that we've engaged with Demand Solutions, we're doing supply chain planning today the same way we were 10 years ago. And, you know, what I heard is given the dynamics in the marketplace, particularly with improvements in supply chain, we need to maybe even move faster than we already are. Otherwise, we're the market leader in our market globally. And if we want to retain that position, we're going to have to make significant improvements in supply chain planning. And that's my takeaway.
Okay. That's a lot to digest on the way back on the Delta Bird to Atlanta, right? Well, so what other trade shows are on y'all's radar this year that you'll be attending?
Well, I have always attend the, I can't say Apex anymore, the ASCM conference that I'll attend. I'm also involved in the Institute of Business Forecasting, and so there's a conference there, an analytics conference later in the spring that I'll be attending as well. So APIX, IBF, and Demand Solutions. Those are typically the meetings that I go to.
Are you going to host another event at the Braves game like I think you did last year?
Well, I'll be looking to do that. We had a good session there with folks going to the Braves game, a great facility there in Atlanta. So we'll be looking to have some other opportunities like that.
The defending first place National League East champions. We'll see how that goes this year. And, Steve, what about you?
So for me, no supply chain conferences other than this one this year. I went to the Gartner Supply Chain Conference last year in Phoenix, which was also just a great experience. Anybody who's in supply chain, you know, that needs to be on their hit list. I just walked away with so much. I guess in terms of conferences, Scott, we use a visualization analytics tool to support not only supply chain but other analytics that we do internally, and that company has an annual conference later in the year, and so I'll make the trip down there for that, and then just look opportunistically for others that would allow me to bring value back to my business.
You know, you mentioned that the Gartner conference in Phoenix, we had the pleasure of sitting down with Mike Griswold yesterday, who's a big leader and facilitator as part of that conference. And I think that's a home run. A lot of what they do there, from the top 25 supply chain rankings to the speakers they have, just like some of the powerful takeaway that y'all both have shared about velocity, we hear very similar output from what they do in Phoenix, I think, each year, and have been doing it for quite some time. So, and Mike's a pleasure to sit down with. So if y'all go, would love to get y'all's takeaways as you come back. All right, so how do our listeners learn more find out more about your organizations? Where can we point them to? And Steve, let's start with you.
So to find out more about my business, you can go to TenkataGeo.com, and that'll take you and just show you all the products and all the applications that we do. What I shared with you earlier was a large segment, but we're also into a variety of other applications. And if you want to learn any more about me, I'm on LinkedIn, so you can just find my LinkedIn profile, and I'd love for you to connect.
Fantastic. Really appreciate you joining us, Steve Huster, Global Director of IT for Tenkata Geosynthetics. And Fred, how do we share more with our listeners about Demand Solutions?
Well, certainly demandsolutions.com is the company website, and there's a wealth of information there. There are not only product descriptions, but white papers, case studies about successful implementations there. You can learn about how people have used our software to improve their operations. Personally, again, I'm on LinkedIn as well. I'm easy to find on LinkedIn, and would certainly appreciate the opportunity to talk with people.
You bet. And you're on the APIC circuit. We love your presentations and your dinner meetings, your webinars. Mm-hmm. The deadly sins of forecasting, I think.
The seven deadly sins.
Loved it. That was a very well-received, one of our larger webinars here at Supply Chain Now Radio. So look forward to having you back. But that was Fred Tolbert, Principal with Demand Solutions Southeast. Fred and Steve, thanks to both of you for joining us. To our listeners, stay tuned as we continue to be interviewing a variety of supply chain leaders like Steve and Fred as Supply Chain Now Radio continues its coverage of the Velocity Conference 2019 here in beautiful Orlando, Florida. Our next segment airs very shortly as we feature a APIC North New Jersey board member, longtime volunteer. Hope you'll stick around for that. But thanks as always for joining us. All right, Scott Luton here with you live on Supply Chain Now Radio. Welcome back to the show. Today we're broadcasting live from beautiful Orlando, Florida, where we're continuing our coverage of Velocity 2019, one of the home run trade shows that you just can't miss. We've been chatting with a variety of supply chain leaders today, and this is the third segment already of our fourth episode here. We really enjoyed all the conversations and interviews with leaders from across the end-to-end supply chain. So let's welcome our featured guest for this third segment of our fourth episode, John Corlick with Demand Solutions Northeast, and who also is a past president with APIC North New Jersey chapter. John, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. Good. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. Really enjoyed our warm-up conversation. Enjoyed getting to know you a little better. So now, where did you come into Orlando from?
I came in from New Jersey, a town called Union, which is just about 15 miles west of Newark Airport.
Okay. And Union, you were telling me, Union is well known for what exactly?
Well known, I guess, depends on where you are, but it tends to be cost effective to its residents on a tax basis, but still provide a good quality of service.
Fantastic. And obviously, as we mentioned, you're past president of the APIC North New Jersey chapter, which, of course, is now part of the Association for Supply Chain Management, ASCM, universe.
Right.
And trivia factoid for our listeners, John, which CSCP class were you part of?
I was part of the first class that graduated with the certification.
Wow. So. Number one in your class, right?
I don't know if I was number one in my class, but I made the cut.
And so for our listeners that may not know, John, tell them about what CSCP is.
Well, CSCP, I think, is a better certification of people that know exactly what should be done, could be done, and is appropriate to do for people working in the operations industry, and doesn't qualify people based on their technical knowledge, but their ability to apply technical knowledge and solve problems.
Mm. Yes, absolutely. The certified supply chain professional certification has become really a hallmark. I know it hasn't been around for 50 years like CPIM has, but in the roughly 10 years, 12 years or so, it's been around. It's been very well received, and we're seeing it more and more on job descriptions. And you know, companies are looking for CSCP certified folks. So before we talk about demand solutions, which is really neat, we had Fred Tolbert on the last episode. I always enjoy sitting down with Fred. Tell us more, John, about your background and overall journey.
Well, my background started out in operations. My job many, many years ago was in a warehouse, and I cut my teeth in operations there. I worked through a number of different businesses and industries, predominantly in the Northeast. Ran through a number of different functional roles, including running IT, running a group of engineers, and all the classic materials management. I tell people, just for perspective, I was in operations management when it was known as P&IC, and graduated through to materials manager, to supply chain management, to logistics management. But it's still basically the blocking and tackling of making the business better.
Absolutely. And you've got a couple of nicknames, but one of them with Demand Solutions is Q. Tell us about that nickname.
Well, the role that I try to fulfill, I think I do it reasonably well in within our group, is anytime something needs to get done, whether it be a technical, whether it be a circumstantial, whether it be a customer issue, I am frequently called on to come in to fix it and help, or not fix it so much as assist in getting it resolved.
It's been reported through the years that whenever there's a contingency, a national conflict, one of the first things that whoever sits in the Oval Office ask is, where are the aircraft carriers? And maybe one of the first things that Demand Solutions ask is, where is John Corlick, right?
Well, frequently they don't have to ask, they just know where to find me.
Okay.
And I am found.
All right. So let's talk more about your firm, Demand Solutions. What do y'all do?
Well, we sell the supply chain solution software, not in replacement for a customer's business system, but to assist that business system by offering opportunities to improve, alternatives to conduct your day in and day out business, and let people in a supply chain management role get suggestions for improving the way that they plan their business.
And planning is all the rage right now, right? If you've been planning for years and trying to forecast, accuracy and effective and pragmatic approach to planning and forecasting is like table stakes these days.
Definitely is. And also adding value by improving the results that all of that planning delivers. Mm. Planning for the sake of planning by itself really generally gets an empty audience.
Mm. But, Muda.
Yeah.
Muda. All right. So tell us about, it's been reported, Malcolm and the research team has really done their homework on you, John. Tell us about your infamous tenacity for customer retention.
Well, I get a lot of ribbing for this, but there are some customers that I began working with maybe 12 or 13 or more years ago that I still engage with on a semi-regular basis, not exactly on implementation projects, but you know, you get to establish a relationship with a customer, and if your relationship is based on good feelings and good exchange of ideas, they will call you back and ask your opinion about things, sometimes out of the blue and something you don't expect.
Trusted advisor.
In a manner of speaking, yes.
So let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk more globally about some of the current supply chain trends that you're tracking more than others. We've already, you know, clearly we've talked about the importance of modern day heightened planning and forecasting. But what else are you tracking that organizations are dealing with right now?
Well, I think it was a focal point element of this conference, and that is, how do you increase your flexibility to achieve results? Nobody can go down the same path. The horse that got you here is not going to be the horse that'll move you forward necessarily. And so increasing your flexibility, your outlook, out-of-the-box thinking, those to me, I think, are maybe not just buzzwords, but ways of how are you changing the way you look at tomorrow based on what you've done yesterday and what you see today.
Being able to look around corners.
Yep, even when somebody tells you there's no corner there.
So what else have you been tracking?
I also like to take a look at what's important to businesses to find the common themes that permeate businesses, whether they are a retail manufacturer of consumer products or whether they're an industrial customer. And the theme that I seem to find is that the customer service level and inventory reduction and becoming better at predictive, what are we going to do tomorrow and what do we need to do about it? So those, you know, those are generalities, but as such, in terms of what's consistent across the board, they're probably the apple pie of what people try to do in business today.
Yeah, it's so interesting, having been in especially the manufacturing space or serving that space for most of my career, you know, the hallmark of supply chain practitioners, manufacturing practitioners, is putting out fires, right?
Yep.
It's what we do. We solve problems. We just expect curveballs, and then we got to figure out what to do. But the bar is being raised to what you're saying and what you said earlier, is that's no longer good enough because we it's not about necessarily solving today's challenges. It's knowing what next month or next year is going to look like, and proactively addressing those before they get as raging of a fire as oftentimes they do.
Yeah, I think the rewards aren't as great as they used to be for fire, putting out fires. People are interested in fire prevention and avoidance and improving results while you're doing it. Not just avoid the fire, but improve the condition that didn't get burnt.
I'm with you. Fantastic. I appreciate how you put that. So what are some of your key takeaways from the Velocity 2019 conference?
Several key takeaways. I often look at any session that I go in as if I can come out with one good idea from a session, then it was worth my while. And, you know, when you go to a conference, you know what the agendas are going to be, you know what the topics are going to be, but you always have a degree of skepticism about the quality level you're going to leave with. I think the quality level for me was good because I did come away with at least one from every session, and some I even stole more than one and left. So
absolutely. I've had a very similar experience that you did, and whether it's a talent panel this morning or Alan Dow's opening remarks, which were really well received. I love the analogy that he used between the 67-second pit stop,
right,
and then the one that's less
seconds.
Than yeah. That really illustrates in a way because, you know, most folks are visual communicators, and you can talk about the difference in the two, but once you see it laid out.
Well, there's two parts to that. That's one, just give you perspective. The other is to give you the agenda for the future, which is 10x. You know, do something 10 times faster tomorrow. He talks about go to market, but I look at it overall decision making. Can you make your decisions 10 times faster? Not because speed is everything, but our enemy today is time. You don't have any more time to do things, and yet people want more things done.
Amen. The bar keeps getting raised in the Amazon era,
yep,
John.
It does.
So how can our listeners get in touch with you and Demand Solutions?
Well, you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm also available through the Demand Solutions web portal. You can leave a note there, try to contact me. Probably the easiest overall is LinkedIn.
And for our listeners' convenience, spell your last name.
It's KOROLUK.
John Corlick with Demand Solutions Northeast and past president of APIX North New Jersey chapter. Great to have you today.
I really
enjoyed meeting you. And we need to have you back as 2019 progresses. I'm sure you can bring back some additional observations for our listeners.
My pleasure being here.
All right. So to our listeners, this wraps up, again, our fourth episode here at Velocity 2019 as we continue the coverage, meeting with a variety of supply chain leaders like John and many others. I appreciate you joining us. Let's finish on a few announcements. We've got to pay the bills around here at Supply Chain Radio. First off, APIX classes continue. John mentioned the CSCP, which is a very well-received leading supply chain certification. In Atlanta, we couple the CSCP with the CLTD, and we run a 2.5-day boot camp, APIX Atlanta does, which is held at Georgia Tech Supply Chain and Logistics Institute. And that kicks off again June 24th. You can learn more at apixatlanta.org. You can always shoot us a note, and we can send you some links. And our email address is scott@supplychainnowradio.com. Other upcoming events. We are proud media partners for the E-Commerce Operations Summit that runs April 9th through the 11th in Columbus, Ohio. It's a little bit warmer up there. You can learn more about that event, which is focused on the white hot space of e-commerce, at operationsummit.com. In May, the Association for Manufacturing Excellence is going to be holding its Atlanta 2019 Lean Summit in the Supply Chain City. Great speakers, plant tours, networking, all focused on the world of manufacturing, as you might expect. Supply Chain Radio is excited to serve as a media partner. You can learn more at ame.org, or, of course, shoot us a note. We'll provide some links. Supply Chain Radio is also a proud media partner of EFT's 3PL and Supply Chain Summit to be held in Atlanta on June 10th through the 12th. We've got over 800 executive leaders already registered. Home run lineup of speakers from UPS, Land O'Lakes, Uber Freight, Cisco, DHL, Supply Chain, many more. You can check out EFT.com for more information or shoot us a note. We are broadcasting live from that event, and we've got a sponsor for our live broadcast from EFT. We'll be able to release that in the next few days. Big thanks to our guests today, yesterday and today, really. John Corlick with Demand Solutions, a great concluding bookend to episode 4. Thanks again, John, for joining us. To our listeners, be sure to check out our upcoming events, replays of our interviews, other resources at supplychainnowradio.com. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Podcast, Stitcher, Spotify. Where else? Tell you what, we've really grown our channels here. Business Radio X, of course, our great partners there. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss anything. On behalf of Supply Chain Now Radio, this is Scott Luton wishing you a wonderful week, and we'll see you next time on Supply Chain Now Radio.